If y'all will turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, another familiar verse, and we're just kind of dwelling on some of these things over and over to try to get it ingrained in your mind. What I'm trying to do, some of this stuff's going to be familiar to you, but what we're wanting to do is give you a little bit and then add a little bit to it. Give you a little bit. We learn by repetition. And so I'm hoping maybe to change your focus in the long run. We're going to read these verses. Colossians chapter 3, the verse 1 says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Now, here's a key word, set. You got to consciously do it, to set. If I set this pencil on top of that Bible right there, to consciously do it, you have to set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, he's giving you a difference between spiritual and physical. Now, we're here in a physical world. We have to have a spiritual balance between the two. So, we're going to pray one more time. Brother Mike, would you lead us in a word of prayer? Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning on the subject of heaven's stages. Heaven's stages. We've been dwelling on heaven a little bit. And what we're trying to do is keep an upward focus. What we're trying to do is develop the long look. The long look. I read a story about Luciano Pavarotti. And he was a great singer, a tenor singer. And he said when he was a boy, his father was a baker and introduced him to the wonders of song. Now, he said he urged him very hard to develop his voice. And then a man named Origio Palloa, he was a professional tenor in his hometown of Modena, Italy. He took him on as a pupil. And he taught this man, Luciano, how to sing. And so as Luciano learned singing, he also enjoyed teaching as well. And he said, "Well, I could sing or I could teach singing. I love both of them." So he talked to his dad about it, and his dad said, "Son, if you try to sit in two chairs, you're going to fall between them." He said, "You need to sit in one chair." He said, "If you want to sing, sing, that's fine. But if you want to teach, teach. But choose one of the two chairs." You know what he did? He chose singing. He sat in that one chair and he developed that gift. You know what he did? He committed himself to that one chair. Now, what I'm trying to tell you this morning is commitment is key. You have to commit yourself to the long look. You have to set your affection. You have to consciously make an effort to set your affection on things above. Why? Because there's a constant pull. There's a constant pull toward this earth, toward this earth, toward this earth. And if you don't consciously set your affection on the fact that you are saved and you're headed somewhere and this earth is not your home, you're just passing through. If you don't set your affection on that, that's why we have heavenly songs. That's why we sing about the blood. That's why we sing about the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? He's in heaven. Here we are on earth. We know we're headed to Jesus Christ. This earth is not all. It gives you a long look instead of just a short look. And what that does is that keeps your heart right, keeps your affections right. Now, you're not supposed to straddle a fence. Now, one thing, I did a little study in the Bible. There's a phrase in the Bible, and I got it in your verse sheet in 2 Samuel 18, verse 9. There's a phrase in the Bible, between the heaven and the earth. And what I found is I examined these verses, that's a phrase for what we call midair. Bible says in Absalom, met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, because he had real long hair. And he was taken up, watch this, between the heaven and the earth. So there's midair, and the mule that was under him went away. Now, Absalom, here he is between. He's caught between the heaven and the earth. He's just in midair. Now, you know what? A lot of people are like that boy. His dad told him not to try to straddle two chairs, or not try to sit on two chairs. You'll get in between. Here's Absalom. You know what the sad thing, you read that story right there. Absalom is running from his father, David. All right, well, guess who? You got a heavenly father. And David, if you read verse 5 of that chapter, you go home and look at it. David's wanting to show him mercy. He said, look, when y'all find Absalom, do not kill him. Do not kill. Don't touch him. Don't mess with him. Look, that's my boy. I know he's done all these things. I know he's rebelled. I know he's tried to take over the kingdom. He run us out. He did all these evil things. Here's David, because he Absalom is his son. He's wanting to have mercy on him. And Absalom is running from the mercy of his father. You know what a lot of you do? You run from the mercy of your father. Here's the father. Here's the father literally willing to give him all kinds of mercy, all kinds of grace. You know what your problem is, a lot of you? You think God is up there with a thunderbolt just ready to just strike you down. Oh, I've messed up. That's it. I just don't even have any hope. Here's a picture of it right here. As bad as Absalom's been. Now look, has any of you been as bad as Absalom lately? I doubt it. And you wonder if God will have mercy on you? He will. He will. God is a merciful God. Yeah, He's a God of wrath, but He doesn't want and He doesn't desire to have wrath on you like that. He'd love to have mercy on you. And here you are running from it. Well, God's mad at me and I know God's not going to understand. God created understanding. God can understand your situation, I guarantee you. Now, there's an interesting thing. He ran from his father and got hung with the Bible talks about the cords of your sins. Proverbs 5:22 says, his own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holding with the cords of his sins. Now here's his father wanting to give him mercy, and he literally gets holding. That verse literally becomes the illustration of him. And you know what? He could have had the mercy. Now, you know how we get the mercy? You know what cuts the cord? Here you are dragging your sins as with a cart rope, like Isaiah 5 verse 18 says. That's interesting, verse 18. And here you are dragging that sin as with a cart rope. And you know what? How can you get loose? The Word of God like a sword. You know why so many people don't read the Bible? Because here they are all bound up and everything else, and a lot of people, believe it or not, love bondage. A lot of people are in a prison house of bitterness. A lot of people in a prison house of bondage to all kinds of sins. And you know what? They're like these prisoners. A lot of prisoners spent time and time and time in prison, and they're scared to go free. They get to where they enjoy. Well, I know I'm comfortable here. I know I'm going to get my meals here. I know if nothing else. I when I get out in the world, I don't know if I'll be able to find a job. I don't know if all these other things. I may meet one of my old friends or something like that. They get to where they enjoy bondage. You know what? The devil will make you think bondage is okay and get you to the place where you don't even want to read that Bible anymore. And that Bible, that's the very thing. The sword of the Spirit can cut you away and free you. You know what? If Absalom had come to that, come to David, said, David, Daddy, what does the Word say? What can I do? David could have pointed him to verses that could have freed him from that and said, all you got to do is go ask for mercy. God will give it to you. You know what all you got to do this morning? If you want some mercy, just ask God for it. Right. The Bible says He's rich in mercy. Yeah. That's something to be rich in, isn't it? I got a Heavenly Father who's not only has the cattle on 1,000 hills, and He owns the hills and all the taters under the hills, but He's got all the spiritual blessings too. He blesses you with spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You think about that. Now, what I'm telling you is we're going to look at some of these heavenly things so we'll have a heavenly look. I want you to see, first of all, heaven's current setup. There are powers, plural, principalities and powers, plural. Now, there's an archangel mentioned in the Bible. Now, arch, A-R-C-H, that's archangel. That, if you got an arch, that's above your head. If you go underneath an arch, like some of these doorways, that's something above. So that means that archangel is above other angels. Right? There's a hierarchy of angels. It's not just all of them. Everybody's equal, you know. Lord have mercy. You wait till they get to heaven. These folks that think like they not, some of them gonna be so disappointed, man. They get up there and realize some folks done more for Christ. Guess what? They get more rewards. Everybody don't get a first place trophy. All these, that's nothing. I'm about to digress here. But what I'm telling you is there's powers. There's realms out there. And one of these days, there's change that's coming. Now, in your verse sheet, in Daniel chapter 12, verse number 1, the Bible says that, and at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. What? Who's that? That's not us, thy people. That's Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble. That's Jacob's trouble. That's the time of the tribulation, great tribulation, such as never was since there was a nation, even at that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is, there's a current setup now. There's coming to be a change because Michael's an archangel. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 16. I don't know if I got it in your verse sheet. Yeah, I do. The Bible says, for the Lord himself. Now, He's not going to send somebody else this time to go do this job. It says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. So you got Michael there. Why is he there? He stands for Israel. Why? You're going to have a change in dispensation. The voice of the archangel, and the Bible says, the trump of God. Now, this reason I'm telling you some of this stuff. There's a change in order that's coming. Right now, you're in a present dispensation. And you're in the body of Christ. We call it the church age. Some people do. But you have got a different setup that's coming than that was coming after the pre-tribulation rapture. Because Michael's standing there with the Lord. It said the trump of God. Now, if you got your Bibles, I want to show you something. Turn to Exodus chapter number 19. Now, the reason why I'm showing you this is because you got all kinds of people out there, and I'm one of my jobs is to feed the flock of God and give you correct doctrine. All scriptures by given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine first, then for reproof, then for correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, the reason I'm telling you that is this. I'm supposed to protect you from the false doctrines being taught today. You got people out there saying the church is going through the tribulation. You got these people that are going through the tribulation, the body of Christ going through the tribulation. That's crazy. It's crazy. We can, look, a collapse of a nation is not the same as the great tribulation. Nations come and nations go. You know what you're seeing right now? I'm just going to tell you, you're seeing the collapse of your nation. Brother Chase, can you, y'all, if you read history at all, you know what the collapse of a nation looks like. Now, that don't mean it's going to happen tomorrow. It's going to happen in December. If your favorite president don't get... It's all going to... You don't know that. You don't know that. God knows that. You know what your job is to do? To live every day for the Lord Jesus Christ and let the Lord Jesus Christ take care of that stuff.
Right.
This stuff about... Look, my hope is not in a president.
Amen.
And if your hope is, I'm telling you, you're in a mess.
Right.
You're not biblical. My hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing less. My hope is in the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what. Why God can do anything. God don't have to have a president to keep things going.
That's right.
My. I tell you, man, I'm just glad y'all think like I do. Now, or the Bible does. Well, we're on the same page, thank the Lord. Now, in Exodus 19, I'm telling you that because of this. The trump of God is not the last trumpet. It's not the same thing. The trump of God, watch this, Exodus 19. Man, I'm getting hot. Exodus 19. Look at verse number 19. It said, and when the voice of the trumpet sounded long, the voice of the trumpet, and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And then guess what you have coming up? Right after that, the law was given and the Ten Commandments come into effect. You know what? That's why you read over there in Revelation chapter 12, verse number 17, and Revelation 14, verse 12, I believe it is. Here are they that have the testimony of Jesus Christ and keep the commandments of God. Why? Those commandments keep them from taking the mark of the beast in the great tribulation. But guess what? The Bible said your works, your salvation don't have nothing to do with works in Romans 4, 5, not by works of righteousness, which he has done, but the washing of regeneration. What? Whenever you got saved, you were regenerated. You got a new birth. But those who don't get saved in this time and go through the great tribulation will have a different setup. So you got the voice of the trumpet. That's God's voice. Did I put in your verse sheet Revelation chapter 1? What'd you miss? What'd I miss? Did I miss one? All right. I want to show you this. I want to make sure I get this. You got to see this. The trump of God is God's voice. Michael is standing there in that text. He's standing up with the Lord because of change in this. He stands for the people of Israel. The trump of God, God's going to call your voice. He's going to say, come up hither. He's going to call your name. You're going to boo. Why, he has to call your name. And God's able to speak to several names all at once. You know that. He's going to call your name. Why? If he didn't say, Lazarus, come forth, the whole world would have came forth. If he had just said, come forth, everything. Why? Everything obeys the voice of God.
Amen.
Now, here's the voice of God. Revelation 1, 10 through 11 shows you his voice is a trump. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That's the day of the Lord. No, that's not Sunday, the Lord's day. And heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha. That's God. The first and the last. And what thou seest write in the book and send it unto seven churches which are in Asia. And he goes on. But what he said is, as of a trumpet. And that next verse goes on to say it was God. What I'm telling you is the trump of God is God's voice. Then, I've got another verse in your verse sheet showing you that the trump of God's his voice, not the last trumpet of Revelation. The trump of God is not an angel. you'll see there that the last trumpet in the tribulation, in Revelation 11, verse 15, it says, and the seventh angel sounded. That's the last one. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kings of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now, what I'm telling you is this. You're getting this thing over and over and over where people are saying the church is going to go through the tribulation, and that trump, that last trump, is going to be whatever, that's the last of the tribulation. He's going to call them up. That is not so. You get out of here before the wrath of God. The Bible said we're not appointed unto wrath. The Bible said that tribulation is wrath. You're not appointed unto wrath. You're not appointed, you're gone. Why? That last trumpet that sounds in the tribulation signals the end of the thing. So there's a difference. Why? In the book of Revelation, you say, how can the thing being ended in Revelation 11? Revelation is not written in chronological order. He gives you the end of the world four times in the book of Revelation. He hones in on something. Revelation chapter 6, at the end of chapter 6, you got the end of the world. He just gives you a brief panorama. You got a parenthetical in chapter 7, and he starts in chapter 8 giving you another round through the tribulation. Then he does it again. He said the end. We see that great earthquake four times in there because he gives you the view of the great tribulation four times. He goes through that thing. He hones down a little bit closer, a little bit closer. You say, has he ever done that before? That's the Lord's second coming. In his first coming, you got four views of his first coming. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He gave it to you, four views. You know what he's doing in the book of Revelation? John writes, and he gives you four views of his second coming. He comes through there, and boom, no big deal. The Lord just destroys with the brightness of his coming. What I'm telling you is, there's a change. Heaven's got an order right now, and there's a change coming. Thank God I'm part of where we're at right now. I wouldn't trade what they had. I wouldn't trade the ability to be able to go down and whip a lion in a cave on a snowy day for my eternal security in no way, shape, form, or fashion.
Amen.
That Old Testament, the Spirit of God could come upon them, and you take a man like Samson, and that man can whip 1,000. Now, what man wouldn't enjoy it? You know, them folks down there made me mad. I'm going to go down and whoop all 1,000 of them. I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't trade what I got for what they have for nothing in this world. Now you think about this. Well, while we're talking about Samson, don't y'all want power? I hope you do. I hope you want power to serve God. You know what Samson had? Samson had a vow on him, a Nazarite vow, and his hair was a symbol of that vow. And he lays his head down in the lap of Delilah. He goes to sleep in the lap of Delilah, picture of the world. Lays his head down there. She cuts the 7 locks of his hair. 7's connected to that Bible right there, connected to the Holy Spirit right there. Lays down there, and guess what? It wasn't the hair. It was the hair that was a symbol of his consecration. And cut that off. He lost his power. Now, where's your power at? You don't have any power of yourself. The Bible said with the power of his might. Where's his might? The filling of the Holy Spirit. You are commanded in Ephesians 5 to be filled. That's controlled. That's yielded to the Holy Spirit. You say, well, how do I forfeit my power? If you tell the Lord no when he says, I want you to do this, and you say, I'm not going to do it, you just forfeited your power. You still just as saved as anybody else on the way to heaven. Glory to God. But you don't have a bit of power. You know what the scariest thing is? Get up in front of a bunch of people with all their Bibles in their lap and not be yielded to the Holy Spirit and say, God, now, Lord, if I say that, I'm going to make them mad. Okay, well, get up there and do it how you want to, but I'm not going to give you my power to do it. That's scary. That's scary. You go out here and you got to witness that without the power of the Lord, guess what happens? You're like Samson. You lost your power. Now, I don't want y'all to lose y'all's power. Why? If you get to the place where you don't focus on heavenly things and focus on the long look, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get earthly and you're going to be filled with fear, and then you're not going to have the power you should have. The Christian don't have to fear the same thing the world. You fear God. The Christian fears God. Fears God. Now, I'm not saying just have your head in the sand, but at the same time, if you fill your mind with the wrong things, you're going to have the wrong mentality. Now, the reason why I'm telling you about this change here is there's an order in the devil's world. There's an order. The devil has order. Don't think he's running the kingdoms of this world like he is without an order. He's got an order to it. You know what his order is? To go by sight and not by faith. Now, I told you last week that the devil, according to these verses right here especially, he's running this earth right now. The kingdoms of this earth, he's running them. There he is. He offered them to the Lord, and the Lord didn't argue with them. People say, well, can the devil promote people? Of course he can. He offered to promote Jesus Christ, and Jesus didn't argue with him. He knew he has the kingdoms. Now, the devil wants you to go by sight. So what I'm trying to tell you is this. In your Bible, in 1 Samuel 28, I think I got it on your verse sheet. The devil wants to counterfeit God. He said, I'll be like the Most High. I'll be like the Most High. That's what he wants to do. He wants to counterfeit God. He wants you to go by sight. You know what the Bible said? When God was dealing with the Jews in the previous dispensation, the Bible said that they go by sight because it said the Jews, in 1 Corinthians 1:22, require a sign. We walk by faith and not by sight. So you know what the devil wants you to do? The devil wants him and his angels to be seen to counterfeit the time when God and his angels be seen. You know what? There was a time when you could see God and things like that. God would make pre-incarnate appearances and stuff like that. But let me tell you this. When people get to talk about all this stuff they seen, you better be wary of that stuff. These people talk about this cute little cherub flew down and had these little wings up here and he was at the foot of my bed. Oh, you better watch that junk. Why? Why is it always the angels always wanting to deceive these guys with his writ? Who was it deceived Joseph Smith, the leader of the Mormons? All right, guess what it is? He saw an angel, didn't he? All right, who was it that deceived Muhammad? An angel. You know what some of these guys talk about? He said, well, a 50-foot angel with 500 wings was in my bedroom. Now, hold on a minute. Most people's bedrooms are 8 feet tall. Now, how did a 50-foot angel stand in an 8-foot ceiling room? What I'm telling you is if the devil can get you, you know, you can go on my site. He'll get you. You got these people, and they're looking for Bigfoot. Why are you looking for Bigfoot? Why? You got other things to do. We got work to do around here. We got bills to pay. You out here looking for Bigfoot. You got these people looking for, you know, they seen all these flying saucers. And so I've told you before, you won't see flying saucers, just make your wife mad. You'll see some flying saucers.
Look, you ought not want to see flies. What I'm telling you is this. Here is Saul. He's gotten out of fellowship with the Lord. Guess what he does? He goes to seek after familiar spirits. The Bible tells you in that verse on your verse sheet, he's going by sight now. And the devil wants you to seek him like you're supposed to seek God. He wants to be like the Most High.
That Bible said in 1 Samuel 28, verse 7, then said Saul saying this unto his servant, see, you're supposed to seek the Lord. Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. Why isn't he inquiring of the Lord? You see there? And his servant said unto him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. You know what you're finding out?
In Revelation chapter 13, I believe it's verse 16, the Bible said in that great tribulation that he's going to cause people to receive is the key word, the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast. You know what 2 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul, talks about those people that go into that time? He said they did not receive the love of the truth. You see how you're supposed to receive God? The devil wants you to receive him like you're supposed to receive God. The devil wants you to seek him like you seek God. The devil wants you, he wants to change times and seasons. You know what times has to do with? Dispensation. The Bible talks about the times of the Gentiles. The Bible talks about when the Lord's reigning. The Bible calls it in his time. Okay? So the devil wants to get you to go by sight like the Jews did. You know what you're supposed to be going by right now? Faith and faith only. You know what the devil's trying to get you to do? Seek after things instead of seeking God. You know what you do? You get out here and you type on. And I wonder what this news site says. And I get on here and type this. And then you get on here and type this other thing. I wonder what they're saying about this. And I went, well, what about God? How did you spend as much time seeking after God and what he said in his Bible as you did on the things on the news? You say, why is that body? I'm telling you, it's getting in your head. You say, what's going on with all this stuff? Why are Christians behaving the way Christians are? You know why? Because they're seeking the things of the world, not the things of God. You say, it gets under my skin a little bit. Why? Because that's not the way Christians are supposed to behave. The world is watching you right now. And I'm telling you this right here. You think we won't stand account for that stuff? Now, your sins are judged at Calvary. But you think that work won't burn up? It will. It'll burn up. Some of the ways some of these Christians are behaving right now is embarrassing. It's embarrassing. Why? Because they're seeking after devilish things instead of godly things. I'm telling you this right here. I hope that this congregation will seek the things above. Why? It'll keep your mind right. I'm trying to help you this morning. Look, if y'all think Brother Chase is mad, I love every one of y'all. Every one of them. I can say that honestly. And some of y'all know me since I was a kid. I love you. But what I'm seeing Christians do right now is because they don't understand some of these things I'm trying to tell you. The devil is trying to get in your mind. And you know how he can do it? He's got to have an outlet. And the thing is, now you think about this. I've got a television just like anybody else. And I watch it some. But I'm telling you this right here. You think about the mind state you'd have if you didn't look at those news sites. How different your thinking will be if you didn't get on that television and spend that. And if Christians spent as much time in the Bible, let's say we was truly balanced. I'm going to live a balanced life. I just watched an hour worth of TV. I'm going to spend an hour in my Bible. How much more heavenly minded we'd be if we did that instead of that TV. We put that stuff in our mind. We put that stuff in our mind. We wonder why we think the way we do when we got junk in our mind. I'm just telling you, the devil's trying to get you to go by sight, and we sit there and look at all that stuff, and say, I'm not going by sight. Don't confuse me with the facts, Brother Che. You're going by sight. I'm just telling you, we gotta get that Bible in our minds so we can handle what's going on. Why? If we don't, I'm telling you, friends, you're gonna get yourself so frustrated in your mind to the fact that you'll behave in ways you never thought you'd behave. Do you think Saul, when he started off, do you think Saul would have ever thought when he could go to God like he could and had the kingdom and had all this power he had, do you think he'd get to the place where he was going to be going to seek a familiar spirit when the Bible says you're not even supposed to suffer a witch to live? You think, it won't be me. I'm telling you what, Brother Chase, A lot of folks say, well, look, I'm not better than anybody. If I don't stay in that Bible every day, if I don't stay in prayer that day, I could be doing things you say, I can't believe that guy right there used to preach. I can't believe that. Why? Because your flesh will take over. Your flesh will take over your body and your mind. Your soul is God if you're saved. But your mind and your body will yield to this world system. I'm trying to warn you, man, I hope it's helping you, but you can't go by sight. The devil wants you to receive him. He wants you to seek him. He seeks to change these dispensations and these times. Why? Because God's operating in a different way than he will be in the future and that he has previously. Now, here's where I'm going with some of this. Ain't no way. Ain't no way it's that time. Ain't no way. All right, we got to roll. All right, Daniel chapter 7, verse 10 is something you really don't realize. I'm trying to go somewhere with this. If you will, take your Bible while I'm giving you this to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You got to see this. And I'm going to read these verses and we'll try to slow down. Y'all, I hope you're not in no hurry. Let me, while you're turning, I'll take this coat off where I can get comfortable. Oh, Carla, God, keep me straight.
There you go.
All right. All right. I'm glad y'all are right. Daddy said I could keep preaching, so we're going to keep preaching. I know y'all don't mind. Y'all, this stuff, I hope it's, look, I'm going to be a help to you. I really do. It's helped me, but this is some stuff maybe you hadn't thought about. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where I'm going with this thing about judgment and how this order has to do with you and where you're going in the heavenly look and heavenly minded. The Bible said, dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints, that's you and I, this church age, this is the saints shall judge the world. Why? Because the Bible said, Jesus said, all power is given to me, heaven and earth. And when he's judging the world, you're going to be right there with him. We'll be ever with the Lord. Okay? He says, and if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? All these angels, we talking about all these wicked things that's going on. How much more things that pertain to this life? You see, he's saying, if you don't have the heavenly look right, you're not going to be able to judge the earthly. What I'm trying to tell you is if you're not going to have a heavenly look, you're going to think you're right and everybody else is wrong. Daniel chapter 7, verse 10, like these kids do today. A fiery stream, Daniel 17, your verse sheet. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him. That's the future you. And thousand times 10,000 stood before him. That's the unsaved. And the angels and everybody else, you're going to be there with him. The judgment was set and the books were open. I thank God I've got my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't have to worry about those books being open. Why? My life is hid with Christ in God. You're part of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those books be open. Open them all you want to. You know what you'll find? You'll be scrolling down there looking for Chase Maskell to say, Jesus Christ. Why? He took your place on Calvary. I'm written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Whoa! That'd make you be like old, what was that wrestler? It's so funny. Ric Flair. Woo! And I tell you what, he said gold watches. Woo! I tell you what, gold streets. Woo! Man, that make you feel good. But I'll tell you what, look, if you get that heavenly look, it'll put a joy down in you. It'll put a joy down in you that this world can't take from you. Guess what else you got? 2 Peter 2:4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. They're going to be judged later. Jude 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. That's what they did in Genesis 6. He hath reserved an everlasting change under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. That's the great white throne judgment. Matthew 8:29. That's why when the Lord come up to those unclean spirits, those devils, they said, hast thou come to torment us before the time? The time. Right, you know what the devil would like to get you to do? You're going to have judgment later.
perfect judgment. He wants to get you to the place where you don't practice good judgment here. We're not, our judgment always not going to be perfect. Look, I have messed up time and time again. But whenever you mess up, fess up, get back up and go again. You're not going to do any good and on this earth and not mess up here, there, and yonder. But the thing is does whenever you mess up, does that keep you down or do you learn from it and keep going? That if we're going to get anywhere as a local church and as we serve in this time right now, we're going to have to realize, hey, I messed up. I'm going to learn from it and keep going. If you don't, you'll get depressed in your mind. Now, in light of the fact of this future judgment coming, how are you judging things now? The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 11:31, you're supposed to judge your own sins. Now, I try not to go on my personal journal too much, but why do you try to ruin it for everybody else? I got this written down here. Why do you think you can do it better than everybody else? You ever thought about that? You ever been to a soccer game? You ever notice everybody there can coach better than the soccer coach? They all think they ruin it for everybody else. Why? Everybody, I'm just sitting here trying to enjoy. And they get up there, he ain't doing it. Hey, what are you doing? That's the wrong call. Why don't you get out there and ref it then? You need to be the ref, or you need to volunteer and be a coach. If you want to be a coach, be a coach. If you're going to be the ref and do all that, you be the ref then. What I'm telling you is people are ruining it for everybody else. You got these people out here in the world, they think they know how everything's supposed to be run. Okay, well, you just go get yourself something to run and you run it. You know how to run the business. You go get yourself a business and run your business. You see what I'm saying? What I'm telling you is this right here. If we don't have proper judgment, we're going to put our judgment on everybody else. And oftentimes, you don't know what that person's going through. Sometimes that coach may know something about that player. That you say, why ain't he playing so-and-so? Well, you don't know if she got a hurt ankle. Some of the things, you don't know what's going on in the background, and here you are trying to throw all this and that and the other. And I tell you what, you better understand that God knows things you don't know. Look, right now, you know what's going on in this world? Spiritual powers are battling, and you don't understand it. So you know what we do? We try to, I know what's going on. Mm-hmm. We know all the latest conspiracies. And we're going to tell you, don't give me that junk. You don't know, come here from Sikkim, most of you. They get over here and they throw all this stuff. You don't know. Look, you're not a doctor. This one guy said, the virus ain't real. What's all these people dying from then? What I'm telling you is this. Look, y'all. There's mistakes on either end. But what I'm telling you is, well, you got to be right. If you're not heavenly minded, you'll go too far over the right. If you're not heavenly minded, you'll go too far over the left. You know what we're supposed to be? We're supposed to be balanced. The Bible said, let your moderation be known unto all men. Amen. Why, if we don't, we're going to have improper judgment on things, and we're going to cast light on things we don't know anything about. Here's some verses, probably be pretty relevant to the times on judgment. Proverbs 24:17-18, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. Watch this. Lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. You know what we've gotten to? We got to the place where we delight in the demise of others. Now everybody, look, I'm like y'all, I like a good fail video. I've seen this one video of a guy. He was in the gymnasium, and he was doing a lat pull down like this right here. And a guy pulled it down for him. The way he's stronger than him pulled it down for him. And he grabbed a hold of that thing. And the guy let go and it just launched him. It just launched him straight out. Now you know what? We've been conditioned to enjoy the pain of others. You know what we ought to do? We ought to be the place where if somebody's hurting, we ought to pray for them. Why? You know what? You know what's humbling? That could be you. Somebody gets harmed and somebody gets hurt. And you know what we don't realize? If you're going against the Bible, you're going with the devil. Anything against the Bible is for the devil. And we start rejoicing in the pain of other people, and guess what? You're going right along with the devil. You know what that lets me know? You're not yielded to the Spirit, and you've lost your power. You lost your power. Here, you say, well, does that match the Apostle Paul? Romans chapter 12 and 1 Thessalonians 5, I have to listen to him every morning. Romans 12, recompense no man evil for evil. No man. Do you treat others the way they treat you? Somebody, you know, that's like one of my old preachers. I always like reading about old Billy Sunday. But he's like the rest of us. He had a few flaws. He went to a place one time and a guy punched him on the right cheek. He said, well, the Bible says turn your cheek. That guy punched him again. He said, I don't have any more cheeks to turn. And he mopped the floor with him. Now, you know what? That's not what we're supposed to do. He's a great man of God, but he messed up. Look, the Bible teaches you can have self-defense. There's nothing wrong with that. But if we treat everybody the way they treat us, somebody cuts you off, then you think of this. What if you implement that in your life? Somebody cuts you off, you go past them, your car's faster than you know, and you cut them off. Okay. Well, you keep doing that, you're going to get in some trouble. Well, some of these days, you'll cut somebody off, they'll pull you over and jerk you out of that car and whip you. Well, you're not as bad as you think you are. There's always somebody out there bigger than you. Amen. What I'm telling you is this right here. Put that over in your spirit so what? Look, if somebody, just because somebody does something ugly to you, you don't know what's going on in the background. They may have been having a terrible, awful, bad morning. Don't treat them like, don't just turn back around and say, all right, that's mean to me. I'm going to just lower the moon. Well, you may have missed the opportunity to witness. You know what's going on in our world? All kind of bad stuff are going on, and people are watching how Christians react to this stuff. Some of these Christians are sold to the place. Some of them are too far to the right, and then some of them are too far to the left, where they just, and they're going up there just so nervous. Look, man, you got to have balance. You got to have balance. I'm trying to tell you, heavenly-minded, have balance. Here's the next thing. Romans 12:6, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Some of these people know everything. They're conceited. The Bible says, Proverbs 26:12, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit, there is more hope of a fool than of him. Knowledge, godly knowledge helps you. But ungodly knowledge puffeth up, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 8:1. It puffs you up. You can't help but know it all while they don't have charity. Charity edify. Charity helps. A love that gives helps. You know what I'm learning? As I get older, there's been a lot of folks that's told me they love me down through the years. But then there's some folks that really don't say it often, but you know what they do? They got a charity. They just show it. You get older and you start looking back and you say, huh, that person right there was my friend even when I was acting like an idiot. You'll find out who your real friends are after you act like an idiot. It's not permanent damage. Some of these people, you can't even get into an argument with them at all about nothing. Why? Because then they're done with you. You know, a real friend, ain't there a real friend, you get a scrap or two every now and then, they still love you just as much. Why? It's just part of being friends. You and God's had some differences here, there, and yonder. You come to realize He loves you. You come to realize He's doing what was right. You got to have that friendship there. You got to have that friendship. Now, here's another thing. I spent too much time on point number one. You got heaven's current set up, heaven's future stage. Turn to Ephesians 6, and we'll hurry through these. Ephesians chapter number 6. How's everybody doing? Okay? All right. Ephesians 6. I hope this is a help to you. All right. So I'm trying to show you some things about your battle here. About your battle. You're in a battle, and I'll tell you this, too. Think of this when you're dealing with people, and you go home and get to praying for them, praying about. Everybody here is in a spiritual struggle, and Satan's trying to get the minds. He's trying to blind the minds. What I'm trying to tell you is this. Whenever somebody acts out of character, understand they're fighting a fight that you can't see. Everybody has got a personal struggle, fear. Some people are struggling with fear. Some people are struggling with certain sins about things. Some people are just struggling with, just loneliness. Some people are struggling with depression, discouragement. Those things are real. I tell you something personal. Your pastor, I tell you what we all do. Discouragement. You know what the devil will tell you? You ain't doing any good. Right. The devil will tell you something. That ain't going to help. That verse, I said, Lord, that verse. And the devil will come and talk to your flesh and say, that ain't going to do no good. You know what? I've learned just pour it on. Lord, the more verses, the better. I guarantee you, I hope God will give me grace enough. Why? Because the Bible's there to help you. It'll relieve all that stuff. It'll relieve it. Now, in Ephesians 6, verse 10, here it is. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Not in anything else. not be strong in anything you can put in that blank, but in the power of not your might, His might. He said, put on the whole armor of God. So guess what? Right now, currently, according to verse number 18, the main battle is prayer. The Bible says, praying always, always. Be ready anytime. Any man here, or woman for that matter, you should be ready any minute to pray and any minute to die. Everybody here should be prepared to die right now. Why? I may not take a next breath. You're not guaranteed that. Be ready to pray and be ready to die at all times. Praying always with all prayer and then supplication. Supplication is a type of prayer in the Spirit. Watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication. Guess what? For all saints. Not for just the ones you like. That means all of them. Why? We all need it. All of us need it. Now here's the thing. The main battle right now is prayer. But later on, there's going to be a change in this heavenly setup. There's going to be a change there. It's going to be physical. Daniel 7, verse 21. I beheld and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. That's not us. Revelation 13, verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Now right now, we have a little bit of physical because there's Christian martyrs and stuff like that. But later on, the Lord's going to do the physical part and He returns. You know what your temptation is going to be? To handle things in a physical manner instead of in a spiritual manner. You have to go to God, take it to God in prayer, prayer, prayer. Well, I think when we get on the other side over there, we're going to realize we didn't pray enough. That's where the battle is. You say, but you don't know what old so-and-so done to me. Well, pray. That's where the battle is. Why? God's going to take care of the physical part. I can't wait till some of these guys in these little skinny jeans and these guys harassing these older people at these restaurants and stuff like that, and it makes you want to go out there and do something about it. Let me tell you something. One day the Lord God Almighty will come and take care of that stuff. That's not for me and you to intrude in realms we're not supposed to intrude in. You take it to God in prayer and say, God, save them. Now, yeah, you can defend yourself, but that's a different deal. Now, I want to give you something I think is a blessing. The Bible said He's going to overcome them in the great tribulation. But Paul don't talk about overcoming like that. The synonym for overcoming is conquer. You know what the Bible said about the Christian in Romans 8:37? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Because of the cross, the Bible said God so loved, past tense. He loved the whole world. I get in His love by getting in Christ. And the Bible said, because of that, I'm more than a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror this morning. The devil's not going to overcome you. He's not going to overcome your soul.
That's right.
Amen. Why? Because you're more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. All right, so you got that. Then you got the stage for fellowship. In Ephesians chapter 2, I'm trying to hurry to get this last thing. Man, I appreciate y'all being patient. Look at verse number 7. Talks about, well, I'm going to read verse number 6 while you're turning there. It hath raised us up, this is after salvation, together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. My body isn't there, but my spirit is there because I'm joined to Christ in salvation. I'm already there as far as salvation's concerned. Why? That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In the ages to come. We're in a dispensation now. There's going to be a dispensation coming. But there's a stage for fellowship. Now, turn now to Revelation 7. You got to see this with your own eyes. Man, I'm telling you, this is more fun than tap dancing. And I can't tap dance, but I've heard it's fun. Now, here's the thing I want to show you. You've heard preachers say in time past, well, if the people go into tribulation, they can't be saved. That's not so. Somebody who's heard a clear presentation of the gospel in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that's a different story, because there's going to be all kinds of people who've never heard a clear presentation of the gospel going to tribulation. So we got a stage for future fellowship. Our fellowship, we're going to be with God the ages to come, but there are going to be other people you're going to fellowship with. You ever thought about that? Heaven's going to be wonderful. Revelation 7, verse number 12. He says, saying, amen, blessing, 1, glory, 2, and wisdom, 3, and thanksgiving, 4, and honor, 5, and power, 6, and might. That's 7 things, perfection. Be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, saved, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's fellowship with people who get saved in the great tribulation. You want to look at some more fellowship? Look at this right here. Saved after this dispensation of ours. Then you got those even saved after. Now think of this. Turn to Revelation 21. Revelation 21. You having fun yet? I hope so. Are you hot, brother, over in that sun? You all right? All right. Look, y'all, I'm trying to get you to focus on heaven. Heaven, heaven, heaven. You're going to have fellowship with those who are saved in the body of Christ. But look, we're not going to have no children like that in heaven. Well, our number is fixed. But the Bible said in Isaiah 9, the increase of His government shall be forever and ever. You know what that means? People are just going to keep increasing and increasing. There are going to be people saved in the tribulation. They're going to eat off the tree of life like Adam and Eve was going to do. And they're going to be able to populate. They're going to be able to have children. You're going to have fellowship with those people, with their children. Guess what? And then those children are going to come to that great city that we're going to be a part of. In Revelation chapter 20, this Bible is wonderful. Revelation 21, look at verse number 23. And the city had, underlined it, no need of the sun. Didn't say the sun wasn't going to be there. But that city is so bright that it said no need of the sun. Psalm 82, don't contradict Psalm 82, where it says the sun and the moon and the star are going to continue forever. It said no need of it. It's so bright. It said neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of the Lord did light, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Watch this. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor to it. Matthew 25 said God's going to come at the end of the great tribulation and judge the nations. And those saved nations are going to come into that thing. And we're going to have fellowship with all those people. You're going to have fellowship with the body of Christ. I'm going to know all y'all saved folks from now on. And then I'm going to meet other people that get saved in the great tribulation. Then I'm going to meet their children and have fellowship with them. He says to go any further right there. Then after that, Revelation 21, you just read all that right there. And you know what the Bible tells you? I'm trying to cut this out for the last verses. It's going to be the age of ages. And the Bible said you'll enter eternity and you'll go on forever and ever and ever with the Lord. You can't imagine. It's just, your mind cannot fathom how wonderful it's going to be. And I don't have the vocabulary to describe it. So the last thing is going to be this. Heaven's eternal station. He's going to change His clothes. All right. Now I want to read a couple of verses to you. And we don't have time to... I'll cover it later. But right now, God's throne, according to the Bible, is at the top of this thing. It's shaped like a pyramid because it said the sides of the north. Now, why is that so important? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 6, He said, I'm going to create a firmament that's firm. It's firm at the top. And I'm going to put a space in between this thing. And the Bible, I know y'all can't see this. There's a space in between here. I don't know who can and can't see. There's a space in between here. So there's waters up here and the face of the deep is frozen, the Bible said. And the devil comes up here to talk like he did in Job, and the Bible said over there, he looks through a looking glass. That's why he'll get an archangel to go down there and talk to him or something like that, but he looks through a looking glass, the Bible said. The Bible said in Revelation, they were standing upon that thing, mixed, and the Bible said with fire, and I believe ice. Let me make sure. Set this thing up for you and show you something. Yeah, it said in verse number 2, Revelation 15, I saw as it were a sea of glass. It calls it the great deep. It's called a sea, the deep up there. And it said, mingle with fire and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark, over his number and over his name. Stand on the sea of glass. It's a sea. The face of the deep is frozen. It's wonderful how heaven's set up. And one of these days, that Bible tells you, and Isaiah 40 verse 22. I didn't have room for your verse sheets.
It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain. Y'all ever studied the aurora borealis? Anybody know that? Over there, you know what that thing looks like? They said it looks like a curtain. Man, that Bible's so neat. One of these days, science catch up with Bible. It said, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. He's giving you a picture because we have to have earthly terminology to understand how this thing looks. It's a firmament here with all this stuff in between, with stars and the earth and the moons and everything else in between that firmament there. He's got all that there. Now watch this. One of these days, we're gonna be raptured out of here, and they're gonna have a time of great tribulation. While we're going through the judgment seat of Christ, we're gonna come back to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. At the end of that 1,000 years, the devil's gonna come up for a little season, and at the end of that, the God is gonna destroy him with fire. Then you're gonna have the great white throne judgment. And after the great white throne judgment, you know what God's going to do? He's going to take that curtain. See, that thing is dirty because there's sin out there. You know what He's going to do? He's going to take this thing and He's going to change it. Psalm 104, verse 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, Thou art very great. He's clothed with honor and majesty, who covereth Thyself. This thing, this whole firmament out here is covering God so you can't see Him. But it's got sin on it, so He's going to change it. Okay? It says this, with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain. Watch this. He said in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 and 12, 10 through 12, and Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of Thine hands. They shall perish, but Thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt Thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But Thou art the same, and Thy years fell not. Guess what? He's going to change that vesture. He's going to be a change of clothes, and it's going to be a change to cleanliness. In Revelation chapter 21, He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. A brand new one. Look, I wrote this down in my journal this morning. The old was dirty and the new will be clean. The old was sinful and the new will be sinless. The old had hate and the new will have constant hallelujah. The old had pain and hurt and the new will have peace and happiness. The old lacked praise and the new will see the fulfillment of His promises. What I'm trying to tell you is this. One president ran, he said, change is coming. Biblical change is coming. You say, well, is it going to stay the same? Is it going to be? Look, change, biblical change is coming one of these days. I'm going to have a change just like you to a new body. Then I'm going to have a change. I'm going to be with the Lord, ruling and reigning. Then I'm going to watch a change of a new heaven and a new earth and dwell with the Lord out there, and I'm going to be in heaven forever in glory, glory to His name forever. Now, y'all, if that's not something to look forward to, I don't know what is. Now, I'm going to ask you this in closing. What are you looking forward to? Are you looking forward to a change in our current situation? Or a change in your situation that has to do with heaven? Are you looking forward more to that or the earth? I hope the heavenly. Let's pray if we could. Brian, would you ask the Lord to pray for us? Help us.